This is Shudders Inc. with Bruce Williams and Glyn Lavender.
Hi, and welcome to episode 307 of Shudders Inc. This is Bruce Williams from shuddersincpodcast.com, and joining me on the line via Skype from Melbourne once again from creativephotoworkshops.com.au, Mr. Glyn Lavender. How are you?
I am absolutely delighted to welcome what I'm sure must be the new listener we've got after having last week having David Duchemin on the podcast.
Right.
And he blog posted on his own Facebook page saying, go ignore the first part of the podcast where it's just those blokes.
Yeah. Ignore the first 37 minutes.
Ignore those blokes. Jump straight to me and listen to me and then go away. But I'm sure we might, I reckon we probably picked up a listener.
You know, we've probably doubled our listenership.
14?
Up to quite 14. Possibly.
We're into double figures.
I reckon he would have had 7.
Yeah, but it's when all 7 are going to come to us.
Okay.
Especially if they listen to the first 37 minutes. If they didn't take his advice and listen to the first 37 minutes.
Yes.
Gonski.
Oh, dear.
Gonski, Gonski. But that was a good podcast, I'm told, last week.
You were told. Okay.
I wouldn't know. Somebody I was talking to during the week listened to it.
Yep.
And enjoyed it.
Good.
So that's good.
Well, there had to be one.
Yeah. Not sure. And so there we go.
Yeah.
We did something. We've done our duty for the year and done a reasonable podcast.
That's right. How's your week been?
Yeah, well, it's back to normal programming now, Bruce.
All right.
You know, my week's actually been pretty exciting. I've been having to play with a bunch of new gear this week that's been landing on my desk, which is
right.
Good.
Is this something more than your new Tamron lenses?
Well, yeah, but I hadn't tested them last week when we podcasted.
That's right.
So they'd arrived, but they hadn't had the time to do anything
with
them.
That's right. That's right.
My new action cam arrived.
Oh, yeah, cool.
And I popped down today and picked up a couple of the LED light cubes.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so I've got a couple of those to take to Vietnam with me.
Nice.
So I've had a big week. I'm really only just charged the batteries on the LED light cubes. I haven't done much else than that.
Yeah, right.
But I took the 15 to 30 out for, probably an hour or so on Saturday afternoon.
Yep.
And shot some stuff with it. Dragged the 8-year-old out and forced it to leap off rocks into midair and be photographed in midair and over and over and over again. No, you don't put your leg there. No, your hand. I told you, put your hand up in the air. Oh, can you put your leg and hand in the right spot at the right time? Okay.
You'll never get a job in a Toyota commercial.
Okay, you've got your hand and your leg in the right spot. What's the expression on your face? don't look at me. Look at don't work with kids.
Or animals, that's it.
So I took her out and we did some shots, and I've got to tell you, that lens is astounding.
Yeah? This is the 1530?
The new 15 to 30 2.8. It is sharp as a nun's tongue.
Right.
I mean, I don't ever recall in my life having used a wide-angle lens that looks so sharp.
Yeah, right.
I mean, you just look at it, it just goes kabang.
Yep.
Interestingly, though, it looks a bit flat. All the images look a little bit underdone. There's not a lot of saturation. There's not a lot of punch or contrast.
Okay.
But that's good.
Yeah, I was going to say, I wouldn't have an issue with that.
Yeah, exactly. It's giving you a great platform to work on.
Yeah.
And incredibly sharp, almost no distortion edge to edge.
Right.
Which for a 15mm lens is brilliant. Yeah, if you get your angles right, it's pretty flat field. Yeah, I've put my kid's head right at the very side of the frame. Yeah. It doesn't distort it too much, so she doesn't look like twice as wide head.
Yeah.
It's remarkable.
Awesome.
And then I found out today that it just won Lens of the Year award.
Nice.
At the ICA Awards.
Nice.
So that was a good thing.
Yeah.
And so I hadn't had a chance to play with the 28-300 yet.
Oh, okay.
But as amazed as I was with the heft and size of the 15-30, because it's a beast of a lens.
Yeah.
The 28-300 is tiny.
Oh, really?
For its focal range, yeah. This is tiny focal range. And what I got the most out of last week's podcast, what I thought was the funniest and just really struck home the stupidity that I am sometimes,
right,
is there's me going, okay, I'm doing this two-lens challenge, two-lens, two-lens. I'm only taking two lenses. as David mentioned last week, yeah, but you're covering 15 to 300 with those two.
That's right.
Yes, a fair point. When you
optical zoom.
When you make the point, it's a fairly good one, isn't it? It's not much of a sacrifice, I think, is what he's saying. It's not like going overseas with just a 50 or just a 35 or just a 100mm lens. No, you know, I've got 15 to 300.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, not an awful lot of sacrifice, other than aperture.
Yeah,
and look, and realistically, the 28 to 300 isn't going to be as sharp as a 70-200 2.8 or something like that, but not noticeably so. If I don't take a 70-200 and a 28-300, shoot both of them next to each other of exactly the same subject and blow them both up to poster size, I'm probably not going to be able to tell the difference.
No,
so I'll be okay. Plus, I'm not taking my 600mm lens. I'm doing a
You've put in your notes that the curved front element poses a problem. Why is that?
I had this. The lens I was envisioning using the most for the Holi festival in India, where they're throwing all the water and all the dust and all the powder and stuff, was going to be the 15-30. So I wanted to get right into people's grills and really get almost like a first person feel to it.
Yep.
But I was always planning on shooting that behind a weatherproof. My goal was either to have filters on the front, like a UV filter, and something sort of pull back from there that's weatherproof, and then when the filter gets completely gunked up, to swap, I'll have a bag full of other UV filters and just swapping them through. But you can't put a filter on the lens. And you can't put it into a housing because the thing's so wide. It's going to be shooting the edges of the barrel of the housing.
Yeah.
So it's looking like exposed front element.
Hmm.
Which is not ideal.
Either that or get yourself a different lens.
But I want that one.
I know, you want the 15mm. That's a conundrum.
It is a, not only that, it could also be a bit of a pickle.
Yes.
I'm still going to. I can't remember who I was talking to this week about it, and they said, "Oh, so what are you going to do?" I said, "Oh, I'm going to destroy the lens, of course. What do you expect?" Effectively, given the choice of the shots or protecting the lens, I'm going to do the shots.
Glyn is the photographic equivalent of "Will it blend?"
I just don't have a choice. I've got to do the shots. Yeah. I can't. Yeah, and it does help that I don't pay for the gear.
Yeah,
but. This lens is hard for me to. It was hard for me to get the first time, let alone get another one.
Yeah, right.
I destroyed their precious lens.
Oh, well, hopefully by that time they'll have another lens out.
Well, I think that 15-30 is going to be around for a while. As wonderful as it is, it's got that extra little drama. So it's going to be a bit of fun to keep working on.
Interesting.
So then my new little Sony Handycam, new action cam arrived.
Yeah.
And as you saw, I posted on Facebook and you said, action, wah. You know, I showed my wife some footage of it this afternoon because she just got back from Perth. She's been away.
So some sample footage that you'd shot?
That I shot, this afternoon. I went down this car park, down a ramp onto a beach. And I'm talking that. It was a drop of 4, maybe 5 feet at an angle of about 45 degrees or so. And I jogged down it in full action mode. Footage the whole thing. That was my action cam in action.
Yep.
She just kind of looked at me. her two reactions to the footage was, wow, it's amazingly sharp and it's amazingly unsteady. Methinks me needs to work on my technique a little bit.
That's the bipod that was holding it.
Bipod trying to do action, and I put it underwater for the first time, which is always a bit, even with the housing, it's always a daunting thing to put electronics underwater for the first time. I only put it into a rock pool of about 5-10 millimeters deep or something.
Right.
So maybe might have been 40 millimeters deep. It was deep enough to submerge the whole thing. So I'm pleased to say that it's wonderfully waterproof, which is great.
Waterproof to 40 millimetres.
For all of a minute, too. I think there's an atmospheric pressure of 0.00001.
Yeah, right.
But I'm sad to announce, though, that, nothing was in focus.
Oh.
Underwater.
Why?
Well, nothing was more than about 3 millimetres away from the front element.
All right, okay.
It was a very small rock ball.
Right.
I think that needs further testing.
Excellent.
So I picked up the new LED light cubes today from Nathan, who we had on the podcast X amount of months ago.
Yep.
Went there, he gave me a tour of his facility. Quite amazing.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, they're doing all sorts of stuff there. They showed me this new audio stereo system that they've developed.
Yeah.
Which is astounding. They have speakers I've never seen before in my life.
Okay, do tell.
Well, I don't even know how to describe them. They were like a wave shape. Oh, you're an audio guy, so I should talk to you about this stuff. They were like a wave shape.
Yeah.
Right? Just this one solid piece of metal wave.
Right.
And like honeycomb cut out holes in it.
Right.
Like a mesh.
Yep.
That was it.
Is this an electric static speaker?
I don't know.
Right.
It was a wavy metal thing with holes in it.
Okay. Actually, no. Electrostatics are flat. They're not wave shaped. Okay. Wow.
And the sound.
So this is something he's developed?
Yeah.
Wow.
And the sound is astounding. It goes, no, I don't know this stuff. It goes from like 20 hertz to really high up hertz.
Okay.
All in one range, if that means a lot.
Yeah, it does.
Is that good? So that's a really good low frequency. And really
yeah,
high.
We see generally speakers, the bigger the speaker cone, the better its ability to handle low frequency signals.
Yeah.
And that's why you have cones of different sizes in a speaker and you have what's called a crossover in between them. So low frequency signals are sent to the biggest driver and then the mid-range signals are sent to the medium-sized driver and then the high frequencies are sent to the smallest driver.
What happens if you have no cones? This thing's got no cones.
Right. So so what you're saying is that it's a full-range driver, so it'll drive all frequencies with equal efficiency.
But it's just a piece of metal.
I've definitely got to go and check this out after we finish recording.
I don't think it's... I think this is a prototype.
He hasn't got like a Kickstarter?
No, there's nothing at all that I know of. It was just on his desk.
Well, we've got to get him back on to have a chat about the cubes, and then I can quiz him about the speakers.
The wires going into it were just... They're all jerry-rigged still. They weren't even properly connected in there yet. But he played it off his computer, and Bluetooth it off his computer onto this thing.
Yeah.
And the weird thing was, you could almost not really tell where the sound was coming from.
Right.
If you listen to a speaker, like 2 feet from your head, you can tell, feel where it's coming from.
Yes.
You know? And this was music was pretty loud. You couldn't really feel where it was coming. There was no sort of forward push of sound.
Yeah, right.
It was just kind of everywhere.
Wow, I want to know about this.
Yeah, these are going to be about $2,000. This stereo system.
Yeah, right.
Which is two speed. Oh, they've got just stereo at the moment. They've got full surround sound coming.
Right. So, are they developing a playback system or just a speaker system?
Oh, it's a playback and speaker system. So okay. it's got the device, the playback device.
Wow.
Yeah. And these speakers.
Wow. I've got to find out more.
The company makes printed circuit boards. They design and configure.
Yeah,
that's what the company's always been. And I found out today that their company was the original foundation company that came up with the premise of Skype. Okay, so they built this foundation platform, and then someone came and bought it, and then those people developed it a bit, and then someone bought them. And they developed, and then Skype bought that, and that was the foundation technology they used for Skype. And they were one of the major players back in the day of like Cray computers. Cray
were the supercomputers of the late 70s, early 80s.
That had some component they came out with for these mega computers back in the day. They've been going for 25 years. It was his dad's company, printed circuit engineering company, and fabulous stuff. Amazing history. So to walk around and watch them making circuits and putting together LED light cubes and stuff. So, yeah, it's a smart chap.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so that was a bit of a fun little jaunt for me today, and then I got to hold the cubes for the first time.
Yeah,
they're like a brick.
Are they heavy?
No, they're not super heavy, but they're solid metal. So they're just they just feel
they'll survive the lavender test.
Well,
we hope.
It's got a big front exposed LED element on the front. If it's going to fall anywhere, I think we know where it's going to hit. But so I'm going to take at least one of them with me to Vietnam. Because one of the things I love about it, the thing is,
after you've dropped it and shattered the front element, it'll be like you're permanently shooting through a honeycomb grill.
There you go. one of the things I love about it for the trip is full power flash.
Yeah.
20,000 to 30,000 shots per charge of the battery.
How many?
20,000 to 30,000.
At full power.
Full power. One charge of the battery, and it comes. I've got a two-head kit, and it comes with four batteries.
That's insane.
So I can charge it before I leave, shoot every day, all day for the entire trip, and come back with battery to spare.
What?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
And if you run the video light side of it on, say, quarter power, I think it's something about 8 hours, he said, of video light for the charge.
Far out.
Yeah, and at full power, I think it's 8,000 lumens at full power.
Jeez.
It gets about 40 minutes on the battery charge, which is still pretty darn good.
That's a lot of light.
Yeah, and I said if you've got four batteries, it's 160 minutes of full-on video light.
Almost 3 hours at full power.
Amazing light, yeah.
Wow.
So quite a stand. And, of course, the great thing about the flash side of it, it's continuous full power flash. So if your camera can do 15 frames a second, it'll fire full power 15 frames a second.
Whoa.
Continuously for as long as you keep your finger on the button.
Wow.
So your battery runs out.
Wow.
There is no recycle time. It's just bang, 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 15. Yeah. Whoa. There's no camera on the market yet that goes fast enough as far as commercial, normal. Yeah. Not to outpace the light. Yeah, normally to outpace the light's capability.
Wow.
Now, I haven't got an idea yet of exactly what power the flash output is. I'm going to say it's
so
not...
So, like guide number?
Yeah, I'm going to say it's not... I'm going to do some tests during the week. It's not going to be as powerful as a normal speed light.
Right.
So, if you're often firing your speed lights at full power to battle ambient or whatever, maybe, But you know what? You put two of them up.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And you've got twice the light. And so then the other good thing, of course, you can control the flash duration from 1/8th of a second.
Wow.
Down to 1/2 second.
Whoa.
So a 1/2 second burst of continuous light.
Wow.
So it's got some very creative capability. And all this for, I don't know how much they charge for them. I know he's got them on sale on his website at the moment.
Yeah.
But I think, they're like, I'm going to pull it up right now as we see, just so I can remember, because it's ridiculously cheap at the moment.
Yeah, right.
One light cube is $459.
Right.
So that's like 550 Australian, let's say.
Yeah.
That's less than a high-end Canon Nikon flash here.
Yeah, exactly.
For continuous high-speed flash, video light, it's pretty amazing. Incredible quality.
Well, we have to get him back on for a chat, because I did say that we'd get him back on, but I didn't realise he'd actually got to market.
Yeah, oh yeah, it's been out for, I don't know, 10 months.
Yeah, right.
So what I'm going to say is let me we'll put it through its paces, and we've got some stuff to talk about with him when he comes back.
Yeah, okay.
The other good thing about it is it's got a modelling light. You can have the video light on. So
the modelling light is separate to the LED.
Well, it's all the same thing.
Oh, right, okay.
The way it works is this, I don't know, it's LED stuff. So for people learning about where light is going to hit and fall, but the continuous lighting is very easy for teaching. Okay, yeah. This is where it's going to hit.
I can imagine.
But still having the ability of using it as a flash is pretty darn cool. So, yeah.
Wow.
Very, very interesting piece of kit, as I said. Yeah. So I'm pretty pleased. I said I'm just charging up the batteries now. They seem to charge pretty fast too, which is
amazing. Oh well, if you're chatting with him, tell him that we'd definitely like to have him on again.
Yeah, definitely. When I come back from Vietnam, we'll get him back on the podcast. And he's off to the US next week to do some sales tour for that. He's taking his audio system and things as well.
Yeah, right.
Oh, he showed me whilst I was there. The other piece of tech is their off camera flashes. For iPhones.
What?
So it's like a little micro cube. It's a little 1-inch by 1-inch LED cube.
So let me guess, triggered by Bluetooth?
Triggered by Bluetooth with their app. And their apps, this is, once again, this is still really, you know, raw technology. It's not out available yet. They're submitting their app to the App Store in 5 days, I think he said. So once the app goes out there, then the product can go out.
Nice. Yeah.
And you can, once again, you can stack these things together, or you can use multiple lights. You can do, you know, multiple lighting. That, and once again, pretty darn bright.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
for such a tiny little device, amazing. So that's pretty cool.
That's awesome.
So I've had a bit of a good week for gadgets.
Yeah.
Then my new dress arrived from overseas for Vietnam. I got this beautiful, I'd say mine.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's for them. It's not for me. It's for the models.
Yeah.
Just because I've got more dresses than my wife. Yeah. my new mask. I've got this dress with this. I don't know. It's a 15-foot red train.
Wow.
So it makes my old 7-foot red train look like it wasn't even trying.
Yeah, right.
that might have been the little train that could, but this is the little train that already has.
Yeah, right.
Awesome. So that's going to be pretty cool. And I'm looking forward, that's going to be in the juxtaposition of that incredibly bright red in, you know, the old muted tones of the villages in Vietnam and stuff. It'll be pretty cool. Yes. And then I finally launched my New York trip yesterday.
Cool. As well,
which is good.
Yeah,
and that's the third sold out already, which is great.
Nice,
which is nice. And by all the comments being made by people who I've been emailing with, that hopefully will sell out in the next week or two, which would be great.
And when's that for?
That's in May 7th and 8th.
Right.
Yeah, cool. And then India's only got 2 places left for March as well.
Nice. Nice work.
It's been a busy week, yeah. And we're busy working on 2 more tours for next year as well.
So really?
It's nuts.
Wow.
It's nuts. It's nuts, I say.
Awesome.
And, of course, I'm going to Perth, too, in November, if anyone's interested.
Oh, okay.
to come to Perth. But that was my week. Now, I heard little birdie told me that something special happened to you this week. Your award, idiot. Your award.
Oh, okay. Well, that's not photographic.
Was it something special in your week, Bruce?
Right, okay, yeah.
Was it something special in your week?
It was something special.
I just want you to know that we care. Not an awful lot, so hurry up and get it over and go with, but just...
So in the Australian Radio Network, the company for whom I work, we have radio stations in all the cap cities around Australia, and every quarter... all of the writers and all of the producers able to enter any commercials that we've worked on that we are particularly proud of. All of the commercials that are submitted are put to an independent panel made up of people who don't work in the creative department. And a winner is chosen, like a commercial or a series of commercials is chosen as the winner for the quarter. And the writer of said commercial and producer of said commercial receive these statues. It's called the Creative Fire Awards, and the statue thingy looks like a flame. And I got quite a surprise, because I actually didn't enter anything for quarter two of this year, because I didn't think I'd done anything particularly brilliant for the quarter. And then the email comes out, you know, with the announcement. And so I'm just, you know, kind of blasé, just scrolling through it. And then I get to the end and I go, and the winners are Gabby Brown and Bruce Williams for Purell. And I'm like, what? I didn't enter anything. And it was Gabby who had written it. She had submitted it because she was really happy with the way they came out. And clearly the judges felt so too. And so, yeah, so Gabby and I both got another, well, for Gabby it was her first, for me it was my fourth, but yeah, so I got another statues.
Every quarter?
Yeah.
So it's like pupil of the week.
What?
It's like student of the week at school, yeah?
But
so it's not like an annual award, which is like a big thing. It's like, every couple of weeks.
Well, here's the thing. I now have 3 of these quarterly...
have you made up a whole year?
...awards. I won one in 2012, one in 2014, and this one just now. But the quarterly one... the 4 quarterly awards at the end of the year are resubmitted to, again, an independent panel, and they pick one of those 4 as the annual winner.
Oh.
And I got the annual for 2012.
Nice.
Yeah. So
what you need is to have one for each season, like the winter winner, the summer star.
Well, we just base it on the calendar quarter. So, January, February, March, blah, blah, blah. So,
well done, you, my friend.
Thank you, mate. Yeah, I was pretty stoked. It was more so the surprise, the fact that I wasn't expecting to see my name in this email because I knew I
had a surprise.
Hey,
it was probably the surprise.
Yeah. So yeah, so that was good. It was a nice little buzz to my week.
Good on you, dude.
Thank you.
Anything else exciting happening?
No, I don't think so.
No.
No. Rest of the week.
Not going to pull out any special guests on us this week, are you?
No, not this week.
This week? After last week, we've been vetoed by the photo. No one wants to talk to us anymore. Should we go through the customer? That's a bad thing. Our listeners?
Some of our listener feedback?
Posts? Yeah. Not the feedback, because we get enough of that hate mail. Let's put some of the good stuff out there, Bruce.
Yeah. So the first one is from my best mate Dave, who I record music with. Dave's recently left his employment with Westpac. He was a bank manager, and he's now working for, I can never remember the name of the company, but basically they're an arts, I don't want to say a business, because I think it's sort of partially government funded and partially privately run. Anyway, Dave sent me this link. I wouldn't normally put something
I'll get
like
on
this
with
up.
It.
Yeah, but anyway, because it was Dave, I thought, yeah, I'll put this on. He told me that there's a shooting high-def video on your DSLR two-day workshop happening in Sydney at the Australian Film, Television and Radio School at Moore Park. And this is for August the 29th and August the 30th. So that's the weekend after this week. This podcast comes out. It's $660 or $594. I don't know what the two pricing points are.
American dollars and Australian dollars.
Maybe. But anyway, it's a full 2-day workshop. You do need to take your own camera and everything.
Maybe it's like concert tickets, so you pay more, you get closer to the front.
Maybe. A reserve, B reserve. So anyway, that link will be in the show notes for anyone that wants to check that out.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
We're happy to promote other things that are happening besides just me.
Yes, that's right. Carl Hemmings sent
Speaking of me, no.
sent us a feel-good story from Petapixel. This was called...
That was awesome.
It was great. The magic of winning a National Geographic Traveller Photo Contest. And essentially the story goes that the lady that shot this image, Nicola Smirnick, I think that's how she pronounces it, was in New Zealand. She was walking along the sort of the boardwalk footpath, whatever, by the sea. And there's this guy playing an upright piano, busking, and sitting on the seawall right beside his piano was this little girl. And Nicola took this photo and, you know, didn't think a whole lot more of it. But then later on, she wanted to try and find out, you know, who this guy was, because she was absolutely amazed with his piano playing. She ended up putting the photo on her Facebook page, and before she knew it, this guy has reached out and gone, oh, you know, someone told me about this photo.
Did you read the article, Bruce?
Sorry?
Did you read the article?
Yeah.
I don't know what story you're telling.
What?
Well, it's not remotely what happened.
Oh, no, it wasn't Facebook. You tell a story.
Have another drink, Bruce. It's okay. she entered that photo and three other different photographs the National Geographic Travellers Photo Comp.
Sorry.
Would you like to? And then she got busy back into a normal work of being a wedding photographer.
Yeah.
And then one night they got an email saying you've won one of the awards, a merit award.
That's right.
So which she was pretty stoked. It going up online from National Geographic got lots of media attention around the world because they were talking about all the images, but also about hers.
Yep.
It got picked up in New Zealand because it was a New Zealand image.
Yep.
The guy who the pianist saw it somehow, or someone shared it and saying, have you seen, I think this is you. And he's then reached out to them saying, yep. Hi, it's me.
Yeah.
My name is.
Yeah, that's right.
Let's keep on going now. Now we've got up to speed.
And so Nicola then ended up getting prints made for the guy in the, you know, who was playing the piano. And then, can't remember, somehow...
I'll keep telling the story. Yeah.
You've obviously read it more recently than I have. I read it like 3 days ago.
I have a photographic memory, Bruce. Unfortunately, I ran out of film in 1982. I've got digital, but it's only 0.3 of a megapixel. It doesn't do much at all.
Right.
You can look at stuff, but it's all blocky. You can't read. You can't remember anything. So he's connected with each other. They said, oh, this is where you can find my music. So they've gone out straight away and bought a whole bunch of the guy's music and shared that this is the guy's music. So people started buying his music because of this. They then sent him a print. But then a couple of days later, after this guy had connected, the mother of the girl also got in contact because someone had shared it with her and said, look, this is your daughter.
Right.
And so they've got so they made a print for her as well.
Yeah.
These people were then living in Croatia. They were getting married, and they wanted, so they licensed this guy's music because they loved it so much for their wedding music.
That's right.
And then, but by chance, this guy was back at home in Belgium visiting family at the time they were getting married. So he's popped over to Croatia for their wedding and played the music live for them.
Awesome!
What a great connection and little thing that can come out of social media and photography.
Yeah, that is. It's a really good story.
It's even well, it is when it's told properly.
That's right.
It's far more interesting, at least. Yeah, yeah. There was a guy, and he had. I think he played music on a sea. There's no sea in Queen. It was a lake. On a kind of a boardwalky sort of thing. It was like I think it was that, or maybe it was a grand piano. Or was it a violin?
No, I said an upright piano. I at least got that right.
Yeah. And where did he get it from, Bruce?
Where did I get what from?
Where did he get the piano from?
I don't remember.
The recycle place.
Oh, okay.
How much did he pay for it?
I don't know.
$75.
Like I said.
How did he get it down to the waterfront?
I pushed it.
He put wheels on it.
That's right.
He plays in the same spot every day. There you go. Crikey. See, I have to have a memory like this because my wife doesn't forget anything. I've got to remember everything I think and say and do because at some point she'll pull me up on it.
Yeah, right.
Oh, dear. So that was awesome, Carl. Thanks for sharing.
Thank you, Carl.
That made minutes of my day happier.
Now, I don't think she still listens to the podcast, but I did see Rebecca Dunstall put up this week a great story from F-Stoppers of a photographer who...
Are you saying you're stalking ex-listeners?
No, I friended her when she was a listener.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
No, what? I'm sure there are a multitude of people who are on my friend list in Facebook who no longer listen to this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, photographer colorizes old photos while adding beautifully surreal narratives. Have you had a chance to look at any of these images?
No, I'm just looking at them now, yeah.
They're great. I haven't had a chance to read the text. I just saw the images and went, oh, that is cool.
That's very cool, yeah.
The one thing I did notice...
What, there's a pelican in the bathtub?
About four images down, there's a photo of a little boy standing on what looks like a stage, and then there's an inset of another boy from a different photo.
Yeah, yeah.
And then in the modified version, the little boy that's in the inset, she's changed the eyes. Or he has changed the eyes. Because now that little boy is now looking at the camera.
Oh, yeah. Easy enough to do.
Yeah.
You pluck them out and shove some new ones
in. That's right.
Yeah, she's done some work on this person.
Yeah.
She's done some work on them. Who's it?
And some very trippy stuff.
Jane Long, there you go, I'm assuming. Oh, she's a Brisbane-based photographer. There you go.
Right.
And digital artist, there you go.
Yeah.
It's in the first sentence, dude, if you bothered even reading much of the article.
Like I said, I at least admitted I hadn't read this one.
And she's exhibiting at the Ballarat International Photo Biennale we were talking about.
How about
last
that?
Last time we were talking about it.
We were only talking about that last week.
Recently. Was it?
No, it was last week, yeah. It was in the 37 minutes that you shouldn't have listened to.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's all about me. Jump up to David.
Anyway, so yes. Again, that link will be in the show notes.
My Uncle Bob sent the same one that Adam sent.
Who did?
My Uncle Bob.
The one about the MIT camera?
Yeah, my Uncle Bob-in-law.
Right.
It's my wife's Uncle Bob.
Okay. Is there a joke here? Or...
Nope.
Oh, okay. Right.
Just saying, my wife's Uncle Bob.
Right.
Uncle Bob in law.
Right.
Bobster. He sent the same one.
Right.
Which is very, I'm just saying it's very nice.
It is.
Bob sent, yeah, on your Bob.
Thank you, Bob.
Doesn't listen to Bob's podcast. But,
doesn't he?
Why would he? Really?
So the story goes that MIT scientists have created this camera that will not overexpose. There's a short two-minute video embedded in the post on Petapixel. And essentially what it does, or what in their little animation in their video, they show a bucket collecting raindrops. And they said with a conventional digital sensor, it's like a bucket. Once it fills up, it's full. End of story. What they're proposing with their, I think they call it their modulo camera, is the idea that the photo sites on the sensor will fill up with photons until it reaches full charge, which is essentially how the photo sites work. Once they've reached full charge, they will dump all that information, presumably into RAM, and clear the charge from that photo site, and then allow it to start filling up again. And it will do that as many times as it has to until the shutter closes and the photo site is not oversaturated with photons. So then basically it will then go to the register and go, okay, how many times did we fill the bucket? It was three times plus this much on the last cycle. And then based on that, it works out how much saturation is needed for that one pixel of the image. And so it's basically doing an in-camera HDR in real time, which is pretty amazing.
As my old mum used to say,
yep,
if you want to carry more water, get a bigger bucket.
Yes.
Why doesn't it make the buckets bigger in the first place? If they're filling up all the time like this, make the buckets bigger. Does it make the camera heavier to carry? Oh, no, because it's light. Hey, here we go.
Maybe you should be a boffin.
Yeah. No, I don't like your idea. It's stupid. Make a bigger bucket. It's amazing technology.
Well, it will be if they can actually pull it off, because all of the images that they've shown are only simulations.
Oh, are they?
Yes. Okay. They haven't actually got.
Well, they've simulated the chromatic aberration exception.
Yes. I've got to say. But it's, I mean, it sounds very exciting. And if they do manage to pull it off, well, then, you know, it will be.
It's been pulled off.
It will be a very amazing technology. But as Adam said when he posted it on the Shutter Zinc wall, you would hope that if cameras come out with this capacity, that there will be the ability to turn it off. You know, because obviously if you want to do high key stuff, you need a little bit of overexposure on some things. Yeah, if you want
I've always said the last thing we want to do is have a camera that can capture the world the way we see it with our eye. As far as it's I mean, it'd be nice to have it sometimes.
In that it would be boring if everyone took perfect photos.
No, it's not so much perfect photos, but I'm talking about in dynamic range. The ability to capture the same sort of dynamic range that our eyes captures, because sometimes I want deep shadows. Sometimes I want to eliminate. Yeah, it's fine to have it, but let's play the hope that when they come up with this stuff, like this MIT technology, let's hope it's got an off switch.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's hope it's an option. It's not a necessity. It's not they bug everyone to do the same thing. So
yeah, that would be great. And the last one that Adam sent us was an article that appeared on BRW, of all places, about a guy who worked for Kodak, and in 1975, he developed the technology which led to the development of digital cameras. In fact, it was pretty much he developed the first digital cameras.
Yeah.
And at the time, Kodak didn't want to know about it.
Of course not.
It's just amazing to read these quotes. You know, this reminds me of, you know, the letter from Decca to the Beatles.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
can't sing, can't dance, can't catch or something.
And guitar music's on the way out.
Yeah. You know,
when he presented the first digital camera to the board at Kodak, they said, print had been with us for over 100 years. No one was complaining about prints. They were very inexpensive. Why would anyone want to look at their picture on a television set?
Yeah. Fair point. I can't say I don't look at my photos on a television set.
No, neither do I. Although, actually, I lie. I do see photos on my TV every night because we have a Chromecast.
So every time you turn it on, somebody's photos.
Yeah, you're getting photos from curated from Google Plus.
Trey Bloody Ratcliffe.
Yes.
His unwanted head everywhere.
Yeah.
Well, I've only got a couple of things for the week.
Yeah. I thought you'd done your stuff.
No, that was just what I've been doing this week.
That was just your preamble.
That's just the stuff I've been doing for the week.
Right.
Oh, actually, the thing about the MIT, thing I pulled out one of the first lines in this thing is, no more will photographers or even ordinary people have to put up with overexposed photos again. Or even ordinary people, because we're
beyond ordinary people.
I found a company in America, and it could only be the Americans that thought of it, that came out with an answer for drones.
Right.
It's called dronemunition.com.
Right.
And it's special ammunition designed to shoot down drones at the fly over the property, which I think is rather funny.
Do you know what? It's just occurred to me.
Is it?
If you're the kind of, you know, NIMBY, not in my backyard type of person who has an issue with drones flying over your airspace...
Yeah.
The ultimate revenge would be to have one of those high-powered lasers like you have in nightclubs.
Yeah.
Because you shine that at the camera and you're going to fry the sensor.
Isn't that what you could do?
Yeah.
Have something worthwhile being filmed in your backyard.
Well, that's...
Let's face it. And an awful lot going on in most people's backyards. NIMBYs, you say. Well, how do you know the acronym for that?
Oh, I've heard that a
lot.
Are you
one?
No, I don't think I am.
Are you the president of the club?
No, I'm not.
Do you have a special saying, a little greeting when the people walk in the door? Actually, no one would walk in the door because you'd all be stolo, wouldn't you? So you're the president, the treasurer, the secretary of the Bruce Williams NIMBY Society.
Have you not heard that saying?
I can't say I have.
Really?
No.
Yeah, so when you get people who... You know, they all getting, you know, up in arms about, you know, development of a quarry in, you know, within the suburb or something like that. And they all get together to protest and say, no, we don't want that here. We want that somewhere else. That's a not in my backyard type of mentality.
Man.
Yeah. I've heard that for at least the last 10 years.
Yeah, he probably invented it.
did not invent it.
Remember the Olympus Air camera we were talking about the other week?
No.
There's a little handheld one. So it connects to your iPhone, and it's going to replace. It's competing against the Sony.
Oh, against the QX10. Yeah. Yep.
So that kind of thing. Well, there's this guy in Japan who's got an Olympus 300mm 2.8, mounted this on the back of it, turned the lens upside down, used the tripod mount to attach a slider. At the end of the slider, he's put an iPhone holder. And a magnifying glass, and he holds this thing up like a bazooka to his shoulder and uses this little viewfinder to look at his iPhone screen, uses the iPhone to control the Olympus Air. So he's got this bazooka camera or rocket launcher camera.
Okay, I think I need to see it because I'm not quite
following. There's a picture there.
No, you didn't send me a link.
I sent the links.
Which link? Did you send a separate thing?
No, the whole thing.
Big
headlines and rocket
launcher. I was
thinking
you were very short on for content this week, and now I realise I've only copied half of what you sent me. Probably why.
Tell you what, if it wasn't for you doing all the work on this podcast, I'd be having to be booting you off.
Okay, so where is it? Where are we?
It's the one with the big headline saying rocket launcher.
Rocket launcher. There we go. Okay, so I'll grab that and I'll open it in my browser so I can have a look at the setup because I didn't understand a thing you said. Right. Okay. Wow, that's trippy. Wow.
Yeah, cool. So he's controlling the camera with an iPhone mounted to the tripod holder of his lens. And he walks around. So it'd be pretty steady. Wow. You'd imagine.
So the camera is the bit on the end of the lens.
Yeah, the little black box, little black red. That's so he's mounted that to there.
Yeah, right.
And
that's awesome.
Ain't it just?
Yeah, got to check that out, people.
So that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And what else have we got going on? What else
10 portraits at different focal
lengths. Yes, this is good. This is some guy's going to take the same portrait of the same girl with focal lengths from 19mm to 350mm.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's got, basically why I hate the 50mm lens. It's right there. Yeah, it's.
It is rather uninspiring, isn't it?
It's distorted.
Yeah.
See how it distorts her face compared to the 70 next to it or the 100 next to it? It's very unflattering, the 50 mil for a headshot is extremely unflattering as a focal length.
Yeah, right.
And, yeah, you compare it to the 100 mil. The 100 mil looks, even the 70 mil looks a bit pinched.
Yep.
The 100 mil looks kind of. Her nose, there's much more depth between her nose and her eyes on the 50 than on the 70. So it makes her nose look a hell of a lot bigger in the shot to me. You know? So I hate the 50 mils of portrait lens because every time I see a 50 mil portrait, all I see is distorted faces.
Yeah, right.
I can't not see the distortion.
Yeah, right.
Really. And most people say, "Oh, I don't know what you're talking about." Well, that shows it perfectly to my eye.
Yeah, right.
Anyway, then I came across this guy who did a self portrait with the meteor shower that was on this week.
Oh, okay.
So his goal was to go and do a self portrait of himself with a meteor flying across the background.
Right.
And he's going into our smart ass bastards who know too talented for their own good. He's managed to achieve it.
Yeah.
There's him standing on this rock in this water and this ocean with this massive meteor going through the Milky Way.
Yeah. And the center of the galaxy coming up over the horizon.
Yeah. Yeah. So he set the shot up for that composition and hoped.
Yeah.
The meteor would go through it, but it wasn't just a meteor, it was a big bright one.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's almost pointing straight at him, you know.
That's awesome.
Smart ass. smart ass.
Yeah.
Now, here's something we've all got to get.
Right.
Film roll Bluetooth shutters.
Which is what?
It's a Bluetooth shutter that looks like a film roll. So you can trigger your iPhone with something that looks like a roll of 35mm film. Why? And if that's not good enough for you,
The
next one down is a twin lens reflex camera Bluetooth shutter.
Okay.
So you can trigger your iPhone with a fake little twin lens camera.
Oh, no.
No. Why, people? Why do you do this?
Yeah, see, I'd rather have the film canister than the twin lens.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, it's a more practical shape, isn't it?
Yeah. It would fit in your pocket, at least.
Still stupid. This goes in
Glenn's, just because you can doesn't mean you should category.
Right. And then I came across two last things, and we'll wrap up. Because it was a long episode last week, and this is all dribble this week. Samsung have just announced a 16 terabyte SSD.
Yes.
That looks fabulous, doesn't it?
Now, what is amazing about this is not only is it the largest SSD yet to market.
Not only that.
It's actually the largest hard drive to market. For domestic computers, this is the largest hard drive available.
There you go.
And there are no spinning components, you know. It's
there you go.
All
so
SSD.
So it lasts thousands of times longer, theoretically.
Well, I'm not sure. I think I've heard that the lifespan of SSDs is improving. It is better than where it was when they, you know, first appeared 4 or 5 years ago. But if I'm not mistaken, they're still not as long a shelf life as a spinning drive.
Okay.
Except for Western Digital drives. They will outlast those.
No, that's not too true because we had on the podcast Facebook page.
We did.
Was it John, I think, from memory? Had a very good experience with his Wi-Fi passport. So,
couldn't resist.
And the last thing I came across was a thing called PixBuff.
Right.
Which is a social media control panel, basically, for your photos. So you can open up just PixBuff and simultaneously upload to Facebook, to Flickr, to Twitter, to 500px.
Wow.
One image. But knowing that, it also then tracks all the statistics, how many times it's viewed, what the likes, the comments, all that sort of stuff. So you can all do it from one control panel.
That is awesome.
And it's free. And they're going to be adding things like Instagram and Pinterest and stuff down the track.
Wow. So is Google Plus included?
Not yet. Well,
I was
going to
say, because I think Google Plus... hold that thought. Yeah, right. That is amazing.
Yeah, so it's a good start anyway.
Yeah.
a way of monitoring, and so then you can go back to that all the photos that you've uploaded to this thing, and it'll check all the statistics from each of the different sites you've loaded it up to.
Yeah, wow, that's great.
Yeah, so I thought that'd be of interest to people who like to share stuff.
Yeah, it's kind of one of those things that you look at it and go, why did it take so long for someone to do this?
Yeah,
you kind of think this would have been on the radar, like.
We should stop now. We finished on a high, Bruce.
We should. Quit while we're ahead.
Look at that.
All right, mate. Well, you have a good week.
Thank you. I'll hopefully be putting the LED light cubes to the test, at least a bit of practice around the house or whatever,
yep,
over the next few days. So maybe have a little chat about them next week.
Sure.
See how they're coming along. And more adventures of Glenn and his actionless cam.
Nice.
Yeah, this is a video of Glenn laying on his couch. Oh, he's reaching for the remote control. No, he's changed his mind. He's laying back down again.
Excellent. All right, mate. We'll talk with you next week.
Well, take care. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Shutters Inc., another audio2u.com quality podcast. For previous episodes, check out shuttersincpodcast.com or search the iTunes Music Store. For questions, comments, and feedback, email theboys@shuttersincpodcast.com.